This episode of Behind the Puck may contain material that would get you a game misconduct, so listener discretion is suggested. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special edition of the PVD cast. It is entitled Behind the Puck, Episode 0. I am your host, John Orlando, and welcome, one and all, to this new podcast project that I am excited and so happy to be a part of. And I'm going to explain all about it here in just a few moments. But for those of you who have never heard my voice before, I'd like to give you a little bit of background as to who I am and what the PVD cast is all about. Well, I am an independent podcast producer based here in Columbus, Ohio, and I've been doing this for 6 years. The PVD cast is my baby, so to speak. I like to talk about my passions on the PVD cast, which entail comic books, movies, hockey, and professional wrestling. And I started this podcast because, to be honest, I needed a creative outlet. And the opportunity last year came about when I met Steph Grieger, the writer, director of The Third Period, which is a hockey film that is slated to begin production next year in the summer of 2020 here in Columbus. And I met her. She was on the PVD cast. We talked, and then the idea came up to create some type of audiovisual behind-the-scenes content for The Third Period. And thanks to Brian Phillips for that great idea. And of course, while we're talking about Brian Phillips, he's on CD1025. I want to thank that fine radio station for being a sponsor of this project. And I want to publicly thank Steph and Brian for the opportunity to be part of Behind the Puck. So basically, what it is it's going to be a podcast that's going to focus on a variety of different topics that connect to the world of ice hockey. Brian Phillips and I are going to talk to some guests who have some experience in the game and ask how these topics fit into the bigger universe of ice hockey. And then we'll discuss how those topics fit into Steph's project, The Third Period. So it's going to be a really fun project. I'm looking forward to all the various different episodes that we have set to go. And this is episode zero, and I'm a comic book nerd. And for those that don't know, when a comic book is launched or sometimes relaunched, it gets the numeral zero applied to it. You know, it's done to kind of differentiate the fact that it's a new start for an ongoing comic or it's a brand new comic. And it's also a marketing ploy, not gonna lie. And since it's just gonna be Brian and I talking a little bit about The Third Period and about hockey in general, I figured that it was an appropriate title. Now, I will mention that you are gonna hear for some excerpts from the conversation I had with Steph last November when she was on the PVD cast, episode 175, by the way, if you want to go back in the catalog and listen to it. But nonetheless, you're going to hear some snippets, if you will, some clips, if you want to call them that, inserted into the conversation that Brian and I are having on episode zero, just to give you a little sample of episode number 175. And also, Steph does a really good job of explaining the project, probably much better than I can or much better than Brian can, because as I've already used this kind of analogy, it's her baby. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, I'd like to thank a couple of sponsors. First, of course, the R Bar, which is located at 415 North Front Street in the Arena District. The R Bar was nice enough to allow Brian Phillips and I to sit and record this episode in their fine establishment. And of course, want to thank, I guess you could say, the sister establishment, the Three-Legged Mare, as well, for their support in the project of The Third Period and, of course, Behind the Puck. They are located at 401 North Front Street, right there in the heart of the Arena District. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, take a seat on the bench and get ready to hear Brian Phillips and I talk all about hockey and The Third Period on Behind the Puck, Episode Zero. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Behind the Puck, Episode Zero. I'm John Orlando. I'm joined by my guest,
the man that brings you all the tunes in the morning on CD 1025 FM, Mr. Brian Phillips. Brian, how are you?
How could it be episode zero? That would be like we're not really doing it. Shouldn't it be episode one?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking that zero would be like a cool comic book.
Okay, all right. You know, fair enough. I know that's your thing.
You know, that's
all right.
My thing.
So. All right, episode zero it is. Fair enough.
We are here at the R Bar in the Arena District, 415 South Front Street. It's, of course, the headquarters for all the folks that like to pregame, so to speak, before Jackets games. For new listeners, let me just explain a little bit about what you're going to hear and maybe allow yourself and me as well to kind of maybe tell the folks who are listening who we are. Well, I am John Orlando. I am the creator of the PVD Cast, which is my own personal podcast that I've run for the last 6 years here in Columbus, Ohio. It's kind of just me and my guests sitting down and talking about things that we like. Movies, hockey, wrestling, comic books. And you, Brian, of course, have been here, what, 25 years on the air?
Yeah. Just that anniversary just passed a couple of weeks ago.
Well, happy anniversary.
It's unbelievable, man.
But let's talk a little bit about Behind the Puck and what it actually is. As I readjust my microphone there for a minute. Behind the Puck is a podcast project that is working in conjunction with, of course, the PVD Cast and 11-1 Productions to support the film The Third Period. Which, of course, is a film that is set in the world of ice hockey. It's going to start filming next year. Steph Grieger is the lady behind it, the woman behind it.
Writer, director, producer.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to that project kicking off next year. I'm curious to see, because I've watched the short film that's based on, Olski, and I'd like to see, you know, you've seen the short version, which is like 10 minutes or something, just a little under 10 minutes, and now to try to do a full feature, I think that that's going to be a really cool and very interesting process.
Well, I think for Steph, the one thing that she's learned that I don't know how she does is the incredible wells of patience you have to get a movie. Mm-hmm. And she's been told over and over again, and she's rewritten this script like 65 times, literally that many times. She enters it in contests, and she's done very well. And through that, you get notes from people that judge your work, and they're like, this is great, but have you thought about this? Hey, it's too long. Hey, it's too short. Hey, you need more of this, less of this. So she sits down at her computer and rewrites scenes or rewrites the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have people that get the script out in Hollywood. You go, I love the script. Who do you have attached to the script? Well, we're working on, you know, we've cast this person and that person. You need a star. And then, you know, she'll go to an agent. Love the script. Do you have X amount of financial backing to get the movie made? Well, no, because we have this level, but to get to this level, we need a star. And the agent goes, well, you need this level of funding to get a star. And so it's a catch-22.
So we're in development right now, and I think this is where I think people get a little, like, I don't think they understand necessarily, like, the process of making a movie.
Right, yeah.
It's so long. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how long of a process it can be. And it's all front end. Like, the actual making of the movie, production itself, is like, I don't know, depending on the movie, like 4 weeks to 4 months. Like, that's it. It's not like this long.
But
unless it's the Matrix, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
The Matrix is shot for like 2 years straight or something, yeah. Like in Australia. Like, yeah. Okay. But that's the Matrix. Like,
right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But for the most part, most films shoot like 4 weeks to four. I mean, that's the shortest part. So production takes the least amount of time. The most amount of time is development and pre-production.
Mm-hmm.
And development can take years because that's where you're like, you're figuring out who your cast is. You're finding your locations. Where do we want to shoot? You're getting tax credits. You're talking to people about investing and all. It's so long. It takes such a long time. We're in that right now. So we've been in it for about 18 months. Mm-hmm. I've been working on development for 18 months.
But without revealing any spoilers as far as things behind the scenes, I mean, she's talked to a lot of really interesting people.
Yes.
About,
yes.
You know, getting over that last hill and getting that star attached. You know, there's a role in the movie for a counselor, you know, mm-hmm. that could be for a Hollywood name. But that's kind of where we are. And mm-hmm. she was hoping to shoot this summer. But because these last little hurdles she needs to get over, at some point you need to say, well, we don't have enough time in the summer because she needs ice time, which, right. You know, for a hockey parent, you know, I've never been a hockey parent. I was a soccer parent, but I know people who have and how expensive it is, how you have to take your kids to the ice at weird times because that's the only time you can get on the ice. Well, this movie needs ice time.
Yes.
And to get that ice time, you got to do it when it's not hockey season.
Correct. Very much
so.
So,
you know, she has so many unique challenges. And that's what's admirable about this is I think she's learned that you cannot look at the big picture after a while. You have to look at each obstacle in your way and just get past that obstacle and then go on to the next one and check each box as you go along. And her tenacity in getting this done and her belief in the project, which when it gets made is going to be a great movie. It's just getting to have it made. So that's kind of where we are right now. But the podcast was sort of a adjunct to this. We had a cocktail hour last October with you know, guys like Chris Pronger and
RJ Umberger. Yeah. Are you sure it's Chris Pronger or not Sean Pronger?
Sean Pronger. Sorry. See? My apologies. I get the
listeners at home. That is the running gag with Chris. He wrote about it in his autobiography in his book about that multiple times he had been traded, and the guys in the locker room thought, "Yeah, we're getting Chris Pronger. Yeah, he's just such an awesome." And then he showed up, and they're like, "Who are you?" You know.
Well, he's a great storyteller, and that's kind of where the idea of maybe attaching some sort of audio and visual content to getting the movie made and the people behind the scenes and getting people like RJ and Sean Pronger to just sit and tell stories. And that's really our goal for this because hockey players have so many great stories. And there's one that he told us at this cocktail party about a guy who he played against who was really good but a complete psycho and went to prison for a while for I forget what, but he tells a story about when this guy came back and started playing professionally again after going to prison that I'm not going to reveal here, but it's because we hope to have him on to tell the story himself. Anyway, that's kind of the idea is that hockey players have great stories, and the lore of the game in the room and on the road and that has nothing to do with X's and O's and statistics. It's about how these guys live their lives a lot of the time off the ice, but also the things that go on during games.
Sure.
The things like the etiquette of a fight and so forth.
Right. Because
good fight stories.
Right. And I think one thing that always, and I know off air you've mentioned it, it's fascinating that you would go out there and punch somebody in the face, but then maybe 6 months later you have to play with them on the same line.
Well, you might even be friendly with them.
Right. Anyway. Exactly. Even, yeah.
But, you know, on the ice, it's a completely different
Totally different
tale.
Story. Totally
you know,
different story.
I heard Marty Brennan. I was listening to the Reds game the other night, and they were talking about throwing at people. And how back in the day, Bob Gibson, the Cardinals legend, drilled his best. I forget who the other player was, but it was like a really good friend of his on another team. Because Bob sent one, a two-strike pitch out at like a slider to just try to get the guy to swing and miss. He took his bat out and just kind of fouled it off to stay alive. The next pitch, right in the back. It's like, how dare you reach out and foul off my pitcher's pitch? But they were best friends, you know? So between the lines, on the ice, it's a completely different tale. But I talked to guys like RJ Umberger about and Jody Shelley about the etiquette of that.
Yeah.
And it's like the Warner Brothers cartoon where the sheepdog and the wolf are walking to work with their lunch boxes and they clock in at the tree and then they spend all day chasing each other around trying to keep the wolf from getting the sheep and the sheepdog thwarting the wolf. And then at the end of the day, they clock out and walk off into the sunset together because you know, when they're off the clock, they're perfectly cordial to one another. And that's the fascinating thing to me about hockey fights is how, and I'm sure there are guys that just flat out don't like each other, but
you might be
teammates and have to figure out how to get along. How does that all work?
Yeah.
So that's what we hope to achieve in the coming months with this as we lead up to shooting the movie is just getting these guys to sit down, buy them a beer or two or three, and loosen them up and get them to tell these stories about fighting and playing hurt or playing playing guilty.
Yes.
You know, you've had a long night out with the guys the night before, and maybe you're not feeling so good, and you got to get back out there and either practice or play a game, and you're not exactly 100%. And we've got a guy lined up that's going to tell it. He said, yeah, I'm retired now. I don't care. I'll talk about those stories.
Nice.
So that in the coming months, we're going to have him on as well, and he's going to talk about playing guilty and what that entails and how does the coach treat you after that.
Yeah.
And so forth.
You know, one thing real quickly, since we've mentioned R.J. Elmberger multiple times, I guess now would be an appropriate time to say congratulations to him. He got added into the OSU Athletics Hall of Fame.
Oh, outstanding.
Most recently. I think it was a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago. But congratulations to R.J. Elmberger for that, because, you know, that's some heavy competition, you know, when you think about all of the great athletes that have come out of Ohio State University.
Absolutely. And it's not just football. It's not just basketball, you know.
Yeah.
It's guys like him who went on to do great things in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Funny thing about talking to RJ is, like, when you talk to him about, hey, did you watch the game last night, whatever game it was? And he's like, you know, I don't really watch a whole lot. He's kind of like, that part of his life is like he's moved on. He's a family man. He's got other things going on. And it's not that he doesn't enjoy watching hockey, but he's not as intense about the game now that he's done. I think he just kind of had his fill, you know. And that's another interesting topic.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Some guys, when you retire from whatever sport you play, it's like those are the best days of your life, and you miss that competition and that camaraderie. But I imagine some guys are like, yeah, you know, I had a great time, made a lot of great friends, made a lot of money, set for life. But, you know, kind of moving on and doing other things. I like to play golf, you know, or whatever it is.
And then there's the other side of that spectrum where you have the guy that can't let go.
And that's kind of what the movie is about, too.
Yeah, sure. You know? That's exactly what the third period's about. You know, the main character trying to deal with those questions of, should I call it quits? Dealing with some obstacles in terms of injuries and other things that have happened to him both on and off the ice. You know, I think that brings a different side to what many people do. Many people might assume when they sit down and watch a hockey game.
Well, and you see athletes who stay at the party too long all the time, and it makes you sad. You know, there aren't many Nolan Ryans who was still bringing it at 100 miles an hour when he was 45 years old. But I saw his last game when his arm literally like broke, and you know,
it was sad, wasn't it?
It's tragic, and you see guys like Albert Pujols, who is, because he's under this dumb contract that the Angels signed with him, where he's making like $25 million a year, and it was, what, 10 years?
Or yeah.
Something like that. That he's played so long, and for a good amount of years now, has been a shell of his former self, and to the point where there are kids who never saw him when he was in his prime, and what an outstanding hitter he was, and a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it.
But
then you look at the other side of the coin, the Stanley Cup Finals and the playoff series against Boston Bruins. Is Chara the player that he was in his prime? Oh, he's 42 years old, but he's still a physical force. And he took a puck to the face and broke his jaw. And
in multiple places.
Yeah, and he was still out there.
Yeah.
At 42 years old. And you see that in hockey for whatever reason. I don't, you know, guys like Chris Chelios playing into their 40s and playing at a high level. It's like, how do they do that? This game is so physical. And it's, then you look at guys like Rick Nash, who had not had all the concussion issues, could have still played, but he had to retire. So a lot of it is just luck, genetics, whatever it is.
Right.
But that's kind of, that is definitely a topic that the movie explores, is an athlete who is trying to hang on, and a young guy who's coming in and taking his minutes and taking his glory and trying to take over his room.
And when I finally was completed with the script and I had some folks had looked at it, And I felt like I was comfortable with it. I started to look around, how do you sell this? So in the movie industry, if you have a script that you want to sell that you wrote, it's called a spec script. You know, nobody asked you to write it. It just came from you and you wrote it. That's a spec script. So the idea is you want to sell it. And I did a lot of research on, okay, well, how do I sell this? And there's lots of like places where you can go to try and sell your script. But by far, most of the interviews that I saw from other filmmakers and a lot of their pathways were that they made a proof of concept or a short film based on their feature length script. And then they utilized that proof of concept video, that short film, to then sell the actual script. Mm-hmm. So that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
So I made Olsky as a way to sell my spec script.
You got a quick synopsis of Olsky?
Yeah, Olsky is just Olsky is an injured player who's battling back. This is right after he has, you know, sort of left the psychologist. He feels ready to go back to his team, but he's still questioning himself, like, okay, can I actually do this or not? And by, you know, once he gets through it by the end, he's like, yes, I'm ready to go back and I feel like I can do that.
Okay.
Yep.
It's a fascinating story in all sports. Like guys that were legends and they just stay around too long and they're just shadows of their former selves. And it's part of the story. Very few guys know when to get out on top, you know? Well, he could have played a few more years. Yeah, he could have hung on, but you know.
But why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am going to mention here real quick as a cheap plug. Steph was on PBD Cast 175 in November of 2018. So if you are a listener that's brand new to this podcast, feel free to go over to pbdcast.com or any of the places where you can get my podcast, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher Radio.
You're on all of them.
Yeah, Google Play. I'm all over the place. So definitely check it out because she goes into great detail about the film and whatnot. And I don't want to steal her thunder, so to speak, as she does a much more articulate way of explaining the process.
Well, she's lived
that,
it and breathed it and ate it and slept it. And, you know, she's a mom, too.
Right.
And she's got a kid going off to college soon. And she's been pursuing her master's degree as well and making a living. I don't know how she does all this. She is a superhuman presence. There's no question.
So let's talk a little bit, Brian, about the beloved Blue Jackets here. Do you think that Rick Nash makes a difference in the front office?
Well, I think he wants to be a front office guy, and I think this is a way for him to learn the ropes in an atmosphere that's comfortable for him. And who knows? I don't know what sort of player scouting acumen he has, and I don't think he really knows until he gets into the job.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be great to have him back. I always felt bad when people booed him, you know? I get it, but he's such a likable guy. And I used to have him on the show back in the day when he was real young. That's another thing that makes me feel old. So Rick Nash is going to be wearing a suit and, you know, carrying a briefcase. It's like, how is it that he's not still playing? But, you know, he's not 22 anymore.
No.
But he's a great guy. And he loves it here, obviously. He's raising his family here. He never moved away.
Right.
As far as I know. So I think he's here to just see what's next. And I don't think it's like a brand ambassador role. I think, you know, he's going to be into the soup and nuts here of hockey operations.
Yeah. So it's not, as I mentioned this, I've said it, it's not like just a bullshit title that they give somebody to make him feel good about himself.
I don't think so. I think this is really for him to carve out what's next and a career. And, you know, we're in a state of flux in the front office. John Davidson had that out clause that he could go and do the same job for the New York Rangers, and he took it.
Yep.
And that bumps me out because he did a great job here. And I'd kind of like to see him back on TV again because he was so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's
such a well-spoken guy, really smart. I bear him no ill will. Obviously, the Rangers job is important to him. I think he left the office here in great shape. And I think we're a really good team next year. Will we be as good? I think it all comes down to the goalie question more than anything else.
Yep. So it will be an interesting offseason, no doubt, because there's a lot of names being thrown out there of people might be on the move.
Well, and I think the Jackets, they constantly surprise you with these guys that they've had in the farm system or guys that, they found over in Europe, Texier mm-hmm. being a great example, their scouting game is top notch.
Yeah.
Because they know that to compete in this market size against the Washingtons and the Pittsburghs and the Bostons and the New Yorks and so forth, you have to be sharper at scouting and finding players in strange places, Finland and so forth, and bring them here. That's what we have to do, and that's what we have to continue to do. So there are going to be contributors next season, guys that you've never heard of, and they're going to make a mark. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Josh Anderson and his colleagues in Cleveland won the Calder Cup.
Correct.
And yeah. that core of guys is so important to what the Blue Jackets are doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guys down there that are, again, going to be contributors. So I think that the organization is set up for continued success. We didn't sell – yeah, I mean, at the trade deadline, people were like, whoa, they're really kind of going all in. It's either this year or nothing. But I trust them. I think they've earned our trust that they have a plan, but they also knew it was important to win a playoff series.
Yes.
And to make a showing and to show the fans that we've taken the next step and we're moving in a positive direction. Now, are they a Stanley Cup contender next year? I don't know. Talk to me after we figure out who the goalie is, and then I'll give my ill-informed opinion.
You know? Okay. There you go. Well, Brian, let's start closing up shop here real quick. I want to let the listeners know that if you're interested in Steph's project, the third period, best place to go, 111productions.com. That'll be the best place. In fact, I believe I have a link over on my own website as well for the PVDcast, pvdcast.com. So just go over there. It's got all the Twitter and the Facebook links and actually also gives you updates as to what's going on with the project. So
okay.
How about some social media info for yourself?
At CD1025Morning is my Twitter handle, facebook.com/CD1025Morning. And I need to get more active on Instagram. I think it's because I feel like I'm not terribly photogenic. That
I actually hate.
I don't spend a lot of time on Instagram because nobody wants to be looking at my ugly mug.
I just hate taking pictures.
Well, I don't.
You know, I don't. You know.
Yeah, you know, if I'm at a concert, I usually like one out of 50 photos. It's like, yeah, this looks pretty good on Instagram, so I'll share that. But I need to be more active there. At least that's what I'm told. I don't know. I'm not a good looking 23-year-old woman. So you know. people don't want to look at me on Instagram. So, but yeah, Twitter, I'm more active on Twitter than anything else. So
same here. Well, let me give my social media, items, if you will. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. Of course, I mentioned PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. Facebook.com/PVDcast.
Do you have a MySpace page?
I don't have a MySpace page anymore.
It's out there somewhere.
Well, you sure.
In the internet way back machine. Yeah, but no, I don't have that.
No, nor do I have any of the other, you know, things.
You don't have a CompuServe page still?
I don't know.
That's a throwback. You know, CompuServe was started here in Columbus. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know.
What's
that,
CompuServe, you ask? Well, it was sort of like the pre-internet social media. It was CompuServe and America Online.
Yeah.
Remember those discs where you get like 1,098 free hours on America Online?
Oh, yeah, I do. And then... I also remember, too, how happy I was when Ameritech offered, like, DSL, like, pretty reasonable. And I'm like, oh, my God.
We used to pay by the minute to be online. Can you imagine? That's
kids nowadays.
It's so stressful.
All these people in the R bar have no idea.
No.
Because they're all 20-somethings.
Right. So.
All right, with
older
that.
Than dirt.
Brian, thanks, man, for joining me here.
Hey, thanks for the Guinness, too.
Oh, hey, no problem. Thanks for joining us here on Behind the Puck, folks.
There you have it. Episode 0 of Behind the Puck is in the books. I hope you enjoyed it. Please let me know if you did, and you could do that a couple different ways. First, you could shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, or you could find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can even go over to facebook.com/PVDcast and leave me a message on how you like this very special edition of the PVDcast. And there's going to be plenty more. That's right. Behind the Puck is going to be an ongoing special edition that's going to be rolling out over the next several months. So that's why, ladies and gentlemen, you want to rate, you want to review, but most importantly, you want to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. All right. And by the way, while you're at it, tell a couple of friends that you can get this podcast a variety of different places. Obviously, the online home of yours truly, pvdcast.com, is a great place. But you can also find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, Google Play, Spotify, the Libsyn Podcast Network. Basically, anywhere where you get podcasts, just search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name in there, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. So, and once again, tell folks about it. Spread the word. I want to thank, once again, Steph. I want to thank Brian. I want to thank the Three-Legged Mare and, of course, R-Bar as well for the opportunity to bring this podcast out onto the airwaves for everybody to hear. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here, and I will chat at each and every one of you later.